Welcome to the Restoration Church Life podcast. I'm sitting here with Nathan and a sister from our church who, in the not too distant future, will be going to the nations to advance the good news of Christ. But before we get there, tell us how long you have been in Washington, D.C.
So I've been in D.C. for about 6.5 years now.
Wow, 6.5 years. It's been that long.
So long.
When did you graduate?
2013 from undergrad.
Really? Oh, that's right, because then you did the post-grad.
Yep, so 2014.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. How did you hear about Restoration? So 6.5 years, you've been here almost about 5 years
Here right towards the beginning?
Yeah, I got here a little bit before. So I knew Matt Lozada.
Oh, Matt.
And he did some networking for you guys. So he brought me to your church when we were in
City Church,
but in the atrium. Or actually, no.
In the side room, small room.
The first ever was when you're still in Friendship Heights.
Oh, wow. You went there.
It was the last
The great community.
You still came back after
the
community.
Yeah, and then after that, it was in the atrium, and that's when where I became a member.
Golly.
Yeah.
Wow, you were out for a while.
Yeah.
Early days.
Anybody that would still come back to our church after the Friendship Heights Community Center thing is a committed person.
That was some great stories. One of those map raging being locked out.
Oh, gosh.
Some person trying to find
a
church.
It was a maze because you have to ask the
We would get emails not infrequently on Mondays saying, I tried to find your church last night and we couldn't find it.
It was cheap. It was like $25 a use, but anyway.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, so you've been here since the beginning. So how did you come to faith in Christ?
So I grew up in a Lutheran home, and so pretty early on I was exposed to the gospel. And I think really in middle school is when I really started, it really started to sink in of what does it mean for my life to be transformed by knowing Jesus. And I think that's when I started questioning what was the purpose in my life. And really when I think the Holy Spirit was really tugging on my heart about, okay, if your identity is in me, then what does that look like every day of your life?
Praise God.
So roughly what was the season in your life when you gave your life to Christ? How old were you roughly?
I was probably about 12 or 13 or 7th.
Cool.
6th or 7th grade, we had a youth ministry, so it was on one of those retreats where I was just singing or praying, and I was like, oh, wow, like, this is mine. Like, this isn't just something that, I grew up in a Christian, at a Christian school and going to Lutheran church every Sunday, where everyone knew me, and I think it was at that point where, I realized that this was more than just a cultural thing or something I did because my family did. And that it was something that would have to be a part of my story from that.
Yeah. Well, and you went to a school that didn't exactly really uphold the gospel. I mean, was it hard to be a committed follower of Christ at American?
Yes, it was hard, but I think it was... in a good way. I got involved in a campus ministry there. And with that, I think I really started to understand what it looked like to be a part of a living, like, Christian community and to be truly mentored and disciple, like what true discipleship looked like. Because before, it was more, you're born into it, your parents believe it, so you go to the church, you hear the doctrine, you learn the doctrine, and you decide to keep following. Yeah. But at American, I had people on my floor asking me why I believe these things. Why did I have a cross on my dorm room?
Yeah. That makes
dorm
no
room
sense.
Wall. And really asking me these challenging questions that honestly made me question my faith, but having a solid Christian community, both in campus ministry and then when I started getting involved in Restoration, helped me really solidify my identity and trust in the Lord.
And you were baptized at Restoration Church?
I was, yeah. And, was that at City Church? City Church.
Yeah,
in
that was
the
we
big
did the,
tub.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's when we did the portable baptism. That was,
I think it was warm.
Oh, it was warm.
Was
but
it warm?
Was it warm?
Was it? Yeah,
it
didn't seem warm.
It had a heater.
It was probably warmer than what we have now.
That's true. Poor Taylor up to grow.
Yeah. No, that was the portable baptism was a behemoth put together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Anyway. It was. So in your time around Restoration, what are some of the things as you leave, at least for a short period of time, maybe a long period of time, to go to the nations? What would be some things that Restoration Church has impacted you? It's over these years.
Oh man, lots of ways, but I think a couple. One would just be how to truly love other followers of Christ, and how to truly treat one another as a family.
Mm-hmm.
To really, I mean, be asked the hard question of like, okay, what's the gospel? whenever, like, anybody might just ask you.
Yeah.
And that really challenged me later on when I was a small group leading at AU, to ask my girls, like, okay, so, like, you say you believe this Jesus and he's your identity. So what does that, like, what is that? Just get down to the nitty gritty. And then also just what it looks like to really talk about the hard things of we say we believe this and not shying away from those difficult conversations, both thinking like corporate setting, but also just
like the one we just had.
Yeah, like the conversation we just had about women's role in the church.
Yeah.
But also just on a one-to-one basis of being very vulnerable and really understanding that Christian relationships are covered in grace because God's grace is covered on us. So I think I was able to become a lot more vulnerable and really wrestle with some things that I wouldn't think I would have felt comfortable with in a lot of other.
Well, we're thankful for your ministry to our church because especially 6.5 years ago, one of the reasons we came to this part of the city was to reach students at American University.
Woo-hoo!
And in order to get students from American University, we needed some students that love Jesus at American to bring American University students with them. So so your service to our church in numerous ways, children's ministry, I know that you serve there. But also just your being faithful on the campus of American University and inviting friends and making disciples there on that campus it was an encouragement to us, and it's helped our church.
Mm-hmm.
So we're grateful for that. But you are not staying here.
Yeah, you like it. You like it so much, you're leaving.
I'm leaving. Yeah, I stayed for a
you
long
stayed.
Time.
6.5 years.
That's a long time at Restoration
and
Church.
I thought I was be leaving sooner.
Yeah,
but.
That's true. Yeah.
That's about three life cycles of the average member.
That's
true.
That's 6.5 years.
True.
Yeah.
You've been teaching Spanish.
Yeah. So I teach at a public school, so it's bilingual. So Spanish
and
English.
English.
Yeah. So I've been practicing that language, which won't necessarily help
me. Now you're
going to
be
going.
Speaking another, another language.
Yeah.
It's not Spanish.
No.
It's not English.
No.
It's not Haitian Creole either.
No.
Nope.
Anyway.
Unfortunately. But, so I've been teaching for a couple years now in the district, but I'm planning on leaving to go to the Middle East, which I've been called to for a while now.
You've been there before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I studied abroad there. So when I was at American, and I actually have led a small, a short term team there for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's about 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
At the end of my senior year.
So this place you're going is not brand new to you. You've got a little bit of experience.
By God's grace, I've been there a few times, and I didn't think I'd be coming back to this particular country, but definitely knew that God had planted his love for Muslim people in my heart. And so where I'm going, I hope to see just the Arab world be transformed from within by a movement of Muslims who are following Jesus. I'm really excited about the team that I'll be joining and their efforts in that. They've been there for a few years now, like probably 3 years now.
So you'll be going there. There's a team on the field that's been there for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
So you're not going alone.
No.
Yeah.
That would be a little challenging as a single
woman.
Yes.
In a Muslim country.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've been doing, so they're doing a church planting movement, and they've seen a few house church type things be planted among the refugees there. Mm-hmm. And really just because, I mean, these people have lost everything, and yeah. They're searching for hope, and I mean, the ultimate hope in any circumstance is mm-hmm. found in Jesus and the forgiveness and grace mm-hmm. that we have in him. But mm-hmm. even I think it really, people are really hungry for hope, and they're looking for something that gives them that, and they haven't been satisfied with what they've had before. Mm-hmm. And so they've seen a lot of refugees asking them questions about, who is this Jesus? So you say that he's, you know, more than a prophet. And also, just what does it look like to follow him? Like, how is it different than what I think it is to follow, to be, a follower of God? And so they've really gotten to, they mainly do it orally because a lot mm-hmm. of people are, illiterate, but mm-hmm. sharing the gospel in, their language. And, but more importantly, they share stories about Jesus. They talk about storytelling is a big, mm-hmm. Way that, a ministry that they have there. Mm-hmm. And, so they share different anecdotes about Jesus, and, they specifically point to, who he is. And yeah. they, I just ask a few questions afterwards, yeah. Just to get people thinking about it.
Yeah. So. Thinking of hope, I read an article in the Washington Post recently that was talking about refugees from another country mm-hmm. that a lot of them had fled to Europe. Mm-hmm. But once they got to Europe, they were actually coming back to where they came
really?
From because of the hope that they thought what they were going to find in Europe, they did not find. Mm-hmm. And once they got, they had enough, they had less than what they had. And so a lot of them were coming back, right. which was really interesting to think about how the Lord might use these situations mm-hmm. in the way that he does to show the true hope that's in Christ. So
yeah.
interesting. So as you go there, how will you'll be working with this team? Any particular responsibilities or?
So they have one business or ministry, which is called Sewing and Storytelling, which is geared towards women refugees specifically of, empowering them to have a sustainable income while they're in transition. Most of the refugees there are hoping to get settled in another country. Mm-hmm. And but then the storytelling part is as they're learning to sew and making products that they can sell, they're sharing a Jesus story with them. And they're encouraged to share that story with their families when they go home. And mm-hmm. and so part I'll be helping with that. A lot of language learning or language remembering. So I'll have a language partner who will be helping me with that. And they've also been partnering some aid organizations that are in there, some secular aid organizations.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another way that they've been building relationships is by going around and giving handouts at the refugee
Well, that's
camps.
Another advantage, I think, that you have, mm-hmm. right, is you've not only have you been to this place before, so you're not green, you're going with some familiarity, but secondly, you have some language ability mm-hmm. already.
Yep.
And we think about our relationship with our other friends overseas.
Yeah.
They're spending their first 2 or 3 years. They have no language at all. Mm-hmm. They're having to spend almost full time learning the language. Now, you're not, you need some refreshing, but like that's huge
yeah. Yeah.
to be able to have a little bit of this language going in.
Especially if you're going to be story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. I think a little bit of my story was I knew I wanted to go overseas and to share the good news about Christ mm-hmm. To the unreached people mm-hmm. of the world pretty early on in high school, and I didn't really know which direction to go. Yeah. And my mom gave me a book that was called 3 Cups of Tea, and not Christian at all, but it was about building churches for schools for yeah. girls mm-hmm. in Muslim-dominant countries mm. where they weren't getting education. And I was like, man, if I could do that for Jesus, that's call cool. it a day.
Yeah.
And so with that, I started looking into, well, if that's the people I feel called to share Jesus with, what do I need to start equipping myself with? Mm. So one of them was language.
Well, how old were you when you got that book?
High school, so 10th
okay.
grade. Yeah.
It's still, okay.
So, and
I was not thinking like that.
No. Anymore.
First of all, I wasn't regenerate.
So you weren't. So,
so that might.
Yeah, that's
a
part
bit.
Of the problem.
How old are you in the 10th grade? What are you? Is that 14?
15?
15?
So, well, yeah. This. So this was when I was like, oh, I might just. You know, I'll just be a diplomat. Like, that's a very reputable, like, okay. career. And God very quickly told me, no, this isn't what I have for you. So when I went to AU, I studied the language and peace and conflict, international peace and conflict resolution, and was ready to go, was ready to drop out of college and just go. And kept being called back. Thankfully, by the Holy Spirit and other people talking sense into me.
God tends to use other people. As
yeah,
well.
and then I realized I'm going to go to a country where it's going to be hard for me to stay if I don't have another reason to go or to be there. And so that's why I went another year to get my teaching degree.
Yeah.
And then when I led the trip to to this region with. At the end of my senior year, I asked one of the workers there. I was like, "What's your one like piece of advice that you would give to someone that wants to, you know, be doing this for a career?" And she said, "Get a couple years of experience in whatever profession you're in now." I was like, "That's the opposite of what I wanted to hear because I wanted to go like in 2 months."
Yeah.
And so that's why I've been teaching for a couple years. So I have a legitimate.
Well, you've set yourself up well for success, it seems, right?
By my own will, definitely by God steering me back.
Wisdom.
Spending a little time over there, getting language down, get some experience as a teacher, you know, all these things, and then developing a relationship at the front end with these people you'll be working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're in many ways, when we think about the relationship, some of the missionaries we have overseas, they don't have the kind of momentum that you're walking into.
Yeah.
So it's really encouraging.
Yeah, I think, God's given, I mean, I think he's made it clear in many ways, but through other people's words and other people's wisdom into my life, that, and scripture, lots of different ways, that this is somewhere that, like, this has been, that he's calling me to this place and to these people.
So what's your timeline?
So right now we are. So I'm planning on leaving at the end of July.
Okay.
And hopefully, and will be fully funded by that time too.
talk quickly about that.
Yeah. So I the organization I'm going with, they have each individual worker raise their support. So and create your own budgets too. So with knowing what the living cost and having to do. Trips for visa renewal and all that. My goal is $36,000 for the year, so $3,000 a month. And so I've been asking people to come alongside, some people from our church already, to partner with me in this. And Restoration's already committed to being a very generous partner. And so, so I've been meeting with people one-on-one and just sharing what the vision God's given me and see if that's a vision that God's called them to invest in.
Now, if they have questions about that, since we don't want to put the organization on this podcast, they can follow up with Joey or myself or with you.
And if you don't know who you is speaking, come ask me or Nathan.
That's perfect. Yeah. And you can find me in the directory.
That's right. This nameless face. Yeah. It's a nameless person. Yeah. Although in the directory, you don't have sound bites. They might have difficulty knowing.
Oh, yeah, we could have sound bites.
Yes. So you're leaving in July. Spending time right now finishing up at school, teaching, and raising money, trying to raise support.
Yep.
How could we be in prayer for you as a church?
Great question. I think with this, with support raising process, I think that is just a whole nother exercise of trusting the Lord. So just continuing to spend diligent time with him, not asking him for funds or anything, but just appreciating who he is and knowing that he will provide. And and also I think with just preparing for where I'm going, I would say just being confident and that this is where God has called me to be, and also being confident in who I know God to be before, because I know it'll be tested pretty hard, and I've already kind of felt that questioning just as I prepare and tell people about it. Mm-hmm. So just being confident in who God is.
Yeah, it's the sermon series that we're doing now, right? Who God is and why it matters.
Mm-hmm. It's been really great.
That bedrock.
You get blown around.
Yeah. Well, Drew, over here, thank you for taking time to sit down with us. We
thank you for having
me. We rejoice in what God has done and what He will do. We look forward to walking alongside of you and seeing Him use you to declare His glory among nations and make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C.
And beyond.
Thank you. And thank you, Restoration Church, for having a heart for the nations. Again, if you want to support our sister financially, prayerfully, whatever the ways may be, talk to her, have coffee with her. But thank you for being a joy to pastor. Talk to you next time.